Hi, welcome to the Brown and Happy podcast. In our time together, I will share what it means to be brown and happy. For many of us, everything looks good on paper, but we're still not happy and living fulfilled lives. It's time to change this, and I can help. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Gayal. Hello, lovely ladies. Happy to have you guys back. If you're listening after the holiday, hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Today I have a wonderful guest, and I know we've been having a lot more guests, but I think that there's so much to be learned and so many people with expertise that I think that I'm so grateful to have them in my space. So today we have Ekta Agarwal. She's a founder of Shakti Therapy and Healing Services and a licensed clinical social worker in the South Asian space. And the way that I met Ekta is she had a gala for promoting mental health in the South Asian community. And I was like, well, this is kind of like something I like to do. But I told myself that this was not for me because it was a lot of therapists and I'm not a therapist. I'm a physician who's a coach. And I'm so happy that I decided to just go. I didn't know a single soul. I just picked a outfit that I liked and showed up. And I think that was, you know, that shows a lot about what we can do when we actually take a chance on ourselves. You know, what's the worst that can happen? And I have to tell you, it was an amazing night. I'm going to let her share about, you know, the work that she does. But I just want to say that, honestly, I have met so many amazing souls because of this opportunity that she created for so many in our community. And no, people were not like, what are you doing here? They were all fascinated with the work that I'm doing in our space, in our community. So Ekta, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Payal, for that really just warm introduction. My name, as Payal mentioned, is Ekta Agarwal, and I am a licensed clinical social worker. So I have those like four letters behind my name, but all that means is that I'm trained as a psychotherapist in this space. And Shakti Therapy and Healing Services is my baby. It's my group practice out here in Los Angeles. And it's really a holistic and therapeutic approach to help all of you who are listening to realize that, gosh, in so many ways, you are an integral part of this like vast, complex web that we call life. And that the health of the whole is intimately connected with the health of the individual. So at our practice, we really embody the holistic mind, body, spirit approach, which is pretty non-traditional for a lot of therapy practices. And we focus on the person of color community. So that means we have a therapist who probably knows your culture and your community and speaks the language, as well as we embody a lot of mindfulness practices. So think like trauma-focused yoga, crystal healing, walking therapy. And of course, we're pretty well known in Southern California for ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. That's getting a lot of exciting press lately. And so we're on that. And we primarily combine ancient wisdoms with up-to-date scientific modalities to help you develop this connection to mind, connection to human, to nature, from individual to community, physical to spiritual, past to present, and so many other ways. So it's an honor to have had you at the Sahas Gala in October, and I'm so excited to share space with you today.
He totally talks down how awesome she is. You guys, like it's amazing the work that she's doing. And I was telling her that, you know, I, as some of you guys have, you know, because listen to the past episode, I talk about how I went and did therapy first, you know, and I had experienced trauma in my marriage, and it was so good and helpful. The part that was, I wish I had someone like you, was someone who understood my culture. You know, like that makes such a difference. And I loved my therapist that I found. And she was like fantastic. But there's a difference between just knowing and then or needing an explanation, right? And I love people who are like open to it, but sometimes like we can just pass over that. Like, why do things happen a certain way in your culture, in your family? And like, that's what I end up doing in my coaching space. Like my clients, like we don't need to talk about why there's a certain division of labor in their homes, why there is certain expectations, the family dynamics, like that's all understood. So we just kind of go with that. So I was thinking like, oh man, like I wish I knew someone in my space who could have been my therapist and helped me, especially with a lot of my anxiety, my worries, and the trauma. So it's such a gift for our community to have mental health focused on their own lived experience. And so yes, that was fantastic. Could you tell us a little bit about like how and why you got into this space and like the work that you do? Like, how did that come about for you?
Gosh, yeah, that is such a stacked question. And, you know, I'll just start by saying that the one thing that I have learned over my time, and I'm continually humbled to learn as a therapist, is that all of us as humans, including therapists, we're so fragile. Deeply fragile, actually. And we all put on these masks and shields and armors to conceal this like fragility that's inside of us because we're so afraid of being broken by someone else. And what allows us to be broken is vulnerability. And so with the South Asian community, I just realized that my parents put on a mask, my friends at school put on a mask, our community puts on a mask, and this fragility is beautiful. It's a duality. And a big part of my work is looking at the duality, the dark and the light side. And when something is so fragile, we protect it. And it's in this protection, there's this sense of sacredness that comes forward that gets to be handled with care. And I realized in order for me to really protect the sacredness, and I'm going to call that soul, in order for me to really protect it and give it its full fighting chance, I've got to take the risk of being vulnerable. And I've got to be able to create that comfort with my parents, with my friends, with my community. But it starts with me. One of my favorite quotes is, a child, I think it was in fourth grade that I read this. It was something like a waterfall begins with a drop of water. And that has till today stuck with me. And it's a consistent reminder that, gosh, I get to be that drop of water if I want to see this waterfall created. So very early on, I was the daughter who was like, I'm not going to do biology. I'm not going to do engineering. I'm not going to get an arranged marriage. And my parents had to deal with that. I very much was motivated to go against the grain, to be different. And I think in our own ways, all of us want to be different somehow. So that, I think that was one big motivator. The other is a little bit deeper. I grew up in a very colorful family, as I would say, as most immigrants have. And in that, I realized my mom was very sick, maybe is still sick. And I had no one to go to. We swept it under the rug. We concealed it. I couldn't go to my friends because I would be scared I'm going to be judged. I didn't go to therapy. God forbid, like you do that. And in my adult relationship in college, I had a very big falling out with my mom and we didn't talk for 10 years. And it was a direct result of her mental health, which today she may say that she has it or she doesn't, but we can still see how strong that stigma is. So that's what moved me into this like psychology space. And I truly, in every essence, became obsessed with South Asian women and their psychology. I ended up doing my thesis on it in grad school and just learned how difficult that immigration process is for women. They leave their family, everything that they know, and come to another country with no one that they know, no purpose. With most men, when they leave, there's a purpose. There's an education, there's a job, there's something. With women, they're just following into something. And that's really fragile. That gets to be protected, but there's no one to protect that. So that's kind of what led me into psychotherapy and even the specialization in South Asian mental health, because I want to be standing right there with you to protect that fragility so you can feel safe being vulnerable, so you can open your soul and truly live.
Yeah, this is the exact reason that I was so drawn to you and I wanted to talk to you about this stuff. It's because the reason we do the work that we do is because we're a product of our product, right? And I, you know, for me, it's like I did the checklist thing, right? So like, I like to think about like the women that grew up in as immigrant firstborn in this country. When I grew up, and I'm a little older than you, like we had that checklist and we didn't go against the grain, right? And I love seeing everyone else, like, you know, the younger generation, like automatically, like just doing it, but we didn't do that, right? So we had those three options. In my house, there's only one option, medicine. Mind you, there's no doctor other than me and our family. And then you had to marry the checklist person and then have the checklist home with the checklist family. And you had to look a certain way, thin and beautiful and put together and, you know, all the things. And I really find a lot of women who I work with, everything looks good on paper, right? And they did the things they were supposed to, but they're wake up midlife and they're like, what's going on? Like, I did the right thing. Like, I understand if I was a rebel, I understand if I had fun and then I'm doing this, but like, I never got to do me. I never got to have think and want to know what I want. Right. And so like, this for me is a very deep topic, because it's not until like the last couple of years, right? Like, you know, say a little before I turned 40, that this was even a question. Like, I just thought that this is what I'm supposed to do. And now I'm like, oh, this is what people do when they're exploring themselves and who they are. It's okay. We haven't done it until now. And this is what I try to tell a lot of my clients is you can start whenever you want. Right. And I started and I showed up at this thing. I didn't know anybody. And I actually had someone else on the podcast, from that. And I have someone else lined up, and it's just like really fun to talk about wherever you are, whatever season of life you're in, it's okay to start there. It's okay for the aunties to start, you know, in their 60s or whatever it is, right? We can all change. I know it's not natural. I know it's like going upstream, right? You're trying to swim upstream, but it's your life. You have this one life to live, and giving yourself permission to dream and to be willing to feel uncomfortable while you're making the change. Cause I think that I was talking to someone yesterday and it's like being on the fence about like, you want this for yourself, but you don't give yourself permission to want it. And one of the things that this is what I want to go into with you is like the barriers and objections specifically for South Asian women. I want to say is like, all of my women, they all are educated, make lots of money, have all the things, and it looks very ideal on the outside. But when they want to work with me, they get scared and they're uncomfortable and they have never invested in themselves in this way. So they make, like, I want to say it's interesting how they make money objection. Money's not a problem for them, but spending money on themselves in a way that hasn't been allowed in the past. Like, Gucci's okay, Chanel's okay, Disney Cruise is okay, Tesla's okay, big wedding is okay. You know, all these other things are okay, Botox, all the things, right? But mental health, oh no, that's not a thing that I can touch and I can feel. Right. And so I actually had someone who kind of like got cold feet from that. And I thought it was fascinating because this is not a unicorn situation. This is a normal thing. So I just wanted to hear your take on like barriers and objections of South Asian women asking for help and actually following through.
Yeah, gosh, to reflect back, Pyle, you know, the scariest and bravest thing, again, here, the duality that you can really do is to start, to your point. That when you just start, make that first phone call to a therapist or a coach, or give yourself permission to focus on you. That can be anything. That could be to go even get a massage sometimes, to take 10 minutes and say, no, I'm not going to handle you right now. I need to handle me. But to start is the scariest and bravest thing. And it tells all your cells in your body that I trust you. I got you. And that level of relationship that you can create with yourself is so beautiful. And it takes a lot of risks. It takes stepping into this unknown, stepping into the possibility of your potential. And I think that is very scary for a lot of South Asian women, because we haven't been given that permission in the past. We've actually been told otherwise. Do what your father says, do what your husband says, your brother's going to be the one who's going to take care of you. I mean, there's so much where we've been guided to take the backseat, to ask for permission, first giving it to ourselves. And so changing that dynamic where we can spend on ourselves, whether it's mental health or anything else that's non-material, is a scary thing. I think a lot of times my married women clients will say, well, let me talk to my husband.
Yes.
You've experienced that, right?
Literally yesterday, I was just thinking about this and I was going to write about this because like I'm talking to these people who are like so successful and, you know, are so put together and make so many, you know, other like decisions, but it's a cop out. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's not, and I actually coach them on this and I say, what do you think he will say? Right. And this has been such a gift for me because I never knew how to respond. And all of my white coach friends were like, well, why don't you just ask them? And I was like, oh,
good point.
I was like, well, that's me putting myself in an uncomfortable situation because I've never done it before. Hey, but if I don't go first, then how will anyone else go? So I asked, I'm like, what do you think he'll say? And usually the response is, well, he'll ask me, like, is this what you want to do? If there's really what you want to do, then yeah, go for it. Right. And still I get a response saying, I don't know. It's like financially not where I want to be or whatever it is. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay. I think everyone has to want the change from within. Like you can't force it down anyone's throat. And also the people they work with who are like, no problem, I'm going to do this. They have seen so much change, so much growth, so much hope. Mike, I was like laugh about this. And people who work with me, they make more money.
That's so funny. I will say the same. A lot of my clients have gotten promoted because they've set boundaries. They've invested in self-care. Things that you may read in a self-help book, but the integration of it doesn't happen 90% of the time for most of us.
Well, part of it is like, there's a difference between like book knowledge and then practical application, right? And so when we work with people and I, you know, in different ways, right? We work with people, we're doing a trial and error in real time, right? So it's like, hey, what happened when you said that, when you told, you said no? It's very simple, right? Like what happened when you said no, that you're not going to come or you're not going to do this, right? Oh, you know, I was uncomfortable. And then they were trying to convince me. And then there's a disagreement. Okay. I'm like, and then what did you do? Right. And what were you believing about yourself in that moment? You know, and I kind of go through this with them because the first time it'll be like, it didn't happen. The second time got a little further. The third time, even further, right? How do we make it so you can do this on your own as a tool that's in your toolbox?
That's so well put. And I think just having a third party process that with you, go through it with you, it feels like an ally. And it gives you that motivation, that determination to do the things that are scary, to give yourself the permission when you're unsure if you have it. So, I think this is a change that is happening. I'm definitely seeing a lot more South Asians reaching out for support than I have ever seen in my 10 years. And so we are seeing a paradigm shift. We are seeing women and South Asian men standing up and saying, hey, these areas of intergenerational experiences stops with me. I'm going to take a stance.
The legacy, I think, topic comes up when I, meet with them first. And it's like they have daughters, right? And see, I don't have a daughter. I have two boys, but I'm raising them to be men that, the people in their life are going to be grateful for, right? And not going to resent them. And so I asked them, like, do you want to continue? This, and they're like, no, right? And one of the main reasons that some of them work with me is because they're like, I know my daughter's watching me. She's not going to listen to what I say. She's going to do what I do. And I'm like, yes, exactly. That is the reason we're going to stop this pattern, this generational trauma from happening. And, in my space, if I see that they need, like they need a therapist, they need someone to do like that work with because of the trauma and stuff, like I'm like, yes, you also need to see someone for that. And then in my space, it's like, okay, what do you want to do moving forward now? And that's kind of where I live. And I love living in my lane. That has been such a gift for me. I think that we talk about this in a mental health space. It's like instead of putting each other in a box, let's like lift each other up. And I think some of that is really counterintuitive in our community.
Absolutely, especially with South Asians. It's so funny that you say that. I think throwing this nonprofit event on South Asian mental health, that's when I experienced the power of community and the sadness around community. And on one end, I had people who showed up for me in such wild ways. People I connected with on Instagram who live across the nation, who called and supported and introduced me to people and made this event happen for the community. And then on the other side, I encountered the sadness that's just really, really being rotted by judgment. And it was this, well, there's going to be alcohol. Don't you know that mental health places should not have alcohol? Oh, well, the ticket's too much because, that's not okay. It doesn't include this, this, this. And we can't afford that. I mean, I can list a million. And I think what people, at first I went through my own experience of feeling really angry and blaming them and getting frustrated. And then I transitioned into like, gosh, I don't even think this is a fault of a person. I think this is a product of our community's thinking that has been molded time after time after time. And so folks like you, folks like I, are really the ones who get to kind of penetrate and shift that and help them identify that, gosh, could that be a trauma response? And trauma isn't this like big thing where you see a shooting or you get into a car accident, or it doesn't have to be big. Sometimes it's the small, tiny things that happen. And our brain rewires itself to believe that that was the worst thing that happened to us. And it's so unconscious that many of us don't realize it's happening to us on a regular basis. And it comes across in these judgments. It comes across in these implicit biases, shall I call it?
It's like
Right?
death by a thousand cuts, kind of like that microaggression that's happening, right? And you just, it's so like minor that you don't know that that's what's causing the major, right? Like the little T versus the big T. It's like such a big difference. I just want to say that this is an uphill battle for us, right? And I hope you guys are listening today. And if you've been on the fence, or you've, you know, are like, oh, I want help and I want, you know, change. And maybe you've even like clicked in or topped in or talked to us or whatever it is. It's okay to revisit, right? I know, like, I've met with a lot of people who got cold feet, and I'm like, it's okay to say, you know what? I'm ready now, right? It's okay to say, hey, yeah, I, you know, you had these excuses in my own head, but it really was me not giving myself permission, right? To do something that hasn't been done before. Because I can say for sure, when I entered the coaching space and I entered that room with all my coaches in it, like, I think, I don't know if I mentioned to you, it's like none of my coaches, all my coaches were white, right? And I love them and they helped me so much. And then I had an opportunity to submit like an inspirational talk to speak at our mastermind with, you know, our founder and everyone like that. And I didn't know how people were there. And I submitted a talk that was very cultural, right? And it was called What's in a Name? Yeah. And it was about like how I never used to correct people on how to say my name. And so of course, Ikpe, you know how to say my name, right? We're brown. But like, whenever you read it, it's like payall, PayPal, PayPal, all this like weird stuff, right? And I never corrected people until like my late 30s. The people close to me, like, I did tell them, and I was like, you know why? It's because we've been taught to just assimilate, right? And I ended up getting, you know, chosen to give that talk. I didn't know it was going to happen, whatever. It's never happened before. There's never been an Asian person who spoke on that stage. The same day that I messaged them saying, hey, how come you guys don't have a podcast about like Asian coaches from school, right? And I was the first brown woman to speak there, you know, and have that. So both of those things happened in a timely fashion. And my coaches were like, first of all, it was 2,500 life coaches, all my mentors in that room. I was like, wow, drenched in sweat. It was like crazy, right? And I gave this five minute talk, and I told them, I said, I'm the first, you know, Asian woman, South Asian woman to be on the stage, but I'm not the last. And I got a standing ovation for that. But like, my coaches came to me and they're like, Pyle, who better to coach your people than you? Right. But guys, it was scary for me. I didn't think, oh yeah, sure, I can do this because I've seen someone else do it, because I have evidence for it. And in medicine, we're very evidence-based too. And so like I didn't have that proof, but I took a chance on me, and I do this work every day. And Ikta does this work every day. She can speak for herself, hoping that you guys can create that for yourself, even a tiny glimmer of it, because then we'll take you the rest of the way. Right? We'll be your ally. You're going to be doing this in your life, but say yes so that we can help you. Right? And this is, I think I'm getting a little bit like, you know, like on the little high horse about this, but it's because I see so many people who are like really wanting to change, and then they're so scared. And I want to reach you guys, right? I want you guys to tell me, like, how can I help you guys? And hiding behind the, I don't know, you know, I've never invested in myself, I don't have time. Time is one of, you know, things I'm like, yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. You have 45 minutes every week to yourself, you know? And if you don't, that's why you need this work.
Yeah.
Right. So anyways, this is kind of the stuff I'm seeing as a barrier. Is there anything else that comes up for you, like with this topic?
Yeah, I just want to lift you up. I mean, the first brown woman coach to speak, that is incredible and worth celebrating. And this is our time for all the young, brown, South Asian kiddos out there. We are the examples for them. You, Pyle, are an example for them. Even in the media, we have brown characters now. Mm-hmm. It's becoming normalized. Mm-hmm. We have brown comedians. We have a brown person running for presidency. Wow.
Yeah.
This is our time. And I share this to also let everyone know that this is a time to start to say yes. Because you have examples all around you today where people are saying yes and they are winning. Many times we see a boundary as saying no to other people. And in working with me, what I really like to teach South Asians is it's not about saying no to your parents. It's not about saying no to your partners or your community. It's about reframing that and seeing how can you say yes to you? Because that no essentially just means yes. Again, going back to that permission, the difference, a lot of people will ask me, well, what's the difference between seeing a South Asian practitioner versus a non-South Asian? And what I like to tell folks is every therapist is a start. Every coach is a start. So yes. And the biggest difference is a non-South Asian practitioner will help you put the fires out. But what a South Asian practitioner will do is they'll help you catch the arsonist. That means there's just gonna not be any more fires because culture, history, you understand language as small as what a name means. All of that is stacked impact that ripples on when it comes to healing. And so, yeah, to your point, I think time is a big one. For me, I would say money is probably the largest one. And you wouldn't invest in something if it didn't mean something to you, right? Would I ever pay a dollar for therapy or coaching? Absolutely not, because I'm going to question the quality of that. Would I pay 50? Absolutely not. So, but that tells me I value someone who is an expert in this field. And an expert is not gonna charge $50 or a dollar. They're gonna charge what they're valued at because they know the impact it will have on you. You are going to change.
That is exactly the most fascinating thing that you said, because you know how like this idea of like I'm looking for a deal, like this like culture,
We
right?
love them.
Yeah, we love sales. We love the Black Friday or whatever it is, right? But it's fascinating to me because if you want the real deal results, you're willing to pay the real deal price. And people who are real don't discount. People who are real, they're not, a dime a dozen, right? You want quality, right, over the quantity that's available out there, right? And you get what you pay for always. And I'm someone who spent, I mean, I'm, let me think about this, 40K on therapy. And then since then on different coaches, I mean, we're at like 200K, and I'm including like business coach and all that stuff, right? And when people like get sticker shock from like being actually charging like what the worth and the value is, like I think it's fascinating because no one's bargaining in the Gucci store.
Right. I was just talking to my brother, and he's like, listen, Apple doesn't have sales
Yes, Tesla.
because Tesla doesn't have sales, but we pay for it because we see the value. The only difference is one is tangible, it's physically taking home something, but the other is not. And in my humble opinion, the latter is an impact that's going to have
Multiple
a
life.
huge difference in your whole life.
Yeah.
Forever. It
It's the
doesn't
ripple
stop.
effect. It's literally the ripple effect, right? And I think it's fascinating that I see some of my colleagues who are not South Asian, like they're not even talking about this topic, right? They're able to go straight into the work, right? And, it is sometimes feels defeating to be like, dude, like this work is going to change your life. I'm the perfect person to help you. And I want to help you. You want this done. Like, please get out of your own way, right? And it's like, to keep, like, there's a, we can carry you guys. And we can do this work as until we can, but we're also human and we need you guys to like listen to what Ikta said, like start saying yes to you, right? When you keep saying no, nothing is gonna change in your life.
right? And yeah, then you'll continue the pattern. And what are you going to do? You're going to wait for something really bad to happen, which is kind of what I did because I didn't know about this work, right? And so like I had to wait. I waited for like, oh, like I was in my own little head and I didn't realize the reality of it. And I keep telling everyone, I'm like, let's not wait till your house is on fire.
Yes. Yes. Let's catch that arsonist so there's no fragility that's needing protection.
That's true. 100% true. That this is, gosh, this is such a good topic. By the way, you guys, we did not plan anything that we were going to say today. Like it was totally like, this is how I do all my podcasts where I'm like, let's just see what happens. And Ikta and I can go on forever because the amount of stuff that we can share in this space is just unlimited. But you guys, reach out to us. Like, hey, you guys talked about this. These are my thoughts. Or what about this? Like, we want to hear from you guys. We get enough of you guys to like ask us questions. Like, let's come back and we'll talk about them, right? Like, this is such a gift to have someone who understands you and your culture so deeply in whatever you're struggling with, right? If it's your career, if it's your relationships, if it's your own self-talk, right? We got you because been there, done that, right? And we will direct you to the right person. If I think you need a therapist, yes, go to Ikta, right? Ikta can recommend you to me. If you're like, you need someone who's working on moving forward, what are the goals you want to work on? What is the life that you want to have, right? Like, let's figure it out, but don't stay silent because guess what? When you suffer in silence, only you're hurting. Right. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
I'll also say when you survive in silence, because that's just not even quality of life. It's just getting through that day, putting in 100% at your job and your relationship and then not feeling fulfilled.
Yeah. That's probably what happened with me is that I was surviving in silence. I love, oh my God, she's like giving us all these great phrases, but like, that's exactly what happened with me. And now I think that I'm so passionate about this work and I really want everyone to stop waiting till things are really bad, right? And if things are already at that point, yes, we're here, but you don't have to wait, right? You don't have to wait till your 40s, you know, like I did to do certain things, right? To have freedom, to make choices, to say yes to me, right? And I love seeing everyone else like in their 30s and 20s, like doing things that I would have never imagined for myself. And I'm not bitter about it. I'm like, great. At least you can, because I'm standing on the backs of the women that came before me. And then the younger folks are doing that on us. Like, let's help each other out in this space. So, Ikta, any last words or thoughts that you want to share?
Yeah, gosh, this has been such an eye-opening conversation. I feel so seen, heard, and understood by you, Pyle. It's wonderful. And to everyone out there, I think the one thing I just want to end with is it's not your fault. It's stacked on generational shifts and changes that are being built. And it is your responsibility to change that. So even though it's not your fault, it is your responsibility to decide to give yourself that permission to say yes to you, to make that shift, to reach out. And so we all can create our own waterfalls by being that one drop of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm going to include all her resources in the show notes. Also, you guys, I'm going to tag her on my social media. Please follow her. Please support the cause. Share with a friend. If you're like, you know what? I know someone else who could benefit from, you know, this work. Please send them in the right direction, right? You guys, we have to help each other as a community. If we're such a community-based culture, let's keep that going in a positive way, right? Like, let's not just use it against us. And write to us, please let me know, like, what resonated with you, what didn't resonate, what do you want to hear more about? And you guys, like, what a gift to have people who know you and get you. Like, don't shy away. It's okay to be scared. We've all been scared. You've already been scared and done things. I promise you, if any of you guys have higher education, if any of you guys have children, if any of you guys have had a sick family member, you've already done hard things. right? So this is not the first time. This is just the first time you're going to do it in a way that's long lasting for generations to come. All right. Thank you, Ikta.
Thank you.
All right. Have a nice day, guys. Hey, if you're finally ready to start being happy, I invite you to join my list. This is where you'll have access to all my workshops, coaching, and pearls. Just head to my website, www.payalghail.com. That's PayalGhail, and join my list. I can't wait to meet you.